Well, that's a good song, Footsteps, Footprints of the Lord, how that we are to follow Him. And wherever He leads us, He will take care of us, and we are to follow after Him. And He may lead us through some lowly places, but He's there with us. He may lead us through some high places, and He's there with us during that time also. So He's God of the mountains, God of the valley, He's just God, and we can follow Him. If you would tonight, take your scriptures and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter 5, I'm going to read a couple of verses here in this chapter, and then we'll read a passage in the New Testament. This morning I mentioned some things about hail, and continued to think on that even after the service. And so I just want to bring some thoughts tonight upon a very unpleasant subject. But we certainly need to know the truth about hell. We need to come to reality of if it wasn't for God's grace, that's where we would go. If it wasn't for His love to us, we would never even know what it means to be at peace with God. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And the counterpart, hell, is real, and so we certainly need to be aware, and I'm sure that we are, but sometimes we just need to be face to face once again with the truths of God's Word concerning a subject that we don't hear much about. It's a subject we don't preach a whole lot about. It's a subject that's not enjoyable to preach, and sometimes we shy away from those things, but it does not change the fact that hell is real. It's there. And the people that die without Christ, that's where they spend their eternity. The scripture says in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, and I want to read verse number 13 and verse number 14. It says, "Wherefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." Verse 15, "And the mean man shall be brought down, the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness." Someone says, and we hear continually, someone would say, if our God is a loving God, He would never send anybody to hell. Well, in reality, God doesn't send anyone to hell. Man's rejection of the Son of God, man's rejection of the truth of God's Word is what brings about his destiny of going to hell. God gives us a choice and opportunity of heaven or hell. Heaven, as we studied this morning, the things about heaven are joyous to you and I, but to the world that knows Him not. Like I said, it's almost like you're trying to give them something that will hurt them. They'll flee from that. They'll run from that. And in doing so, they're running from the grace of God and running straight toward the mouth of hell. Here we find that Isaiah says that the people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They're famished, and the multitude is dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. God puts a personal position of hell. He doesn't say hell hath enlarged itself. It says hell hath enlarged herself. And she has opened her mouth without measure. And so therefore, hell is there waiting and groping and desiring that people would leave this life and spend eternity in hell. And that's the job of the wicked one. He tries to make sure that people do not know the gospel. That's why I'm glad to be able to read a mission letter like we did tonight, that through what we might think would be very unconventional ways that people can get the gospel, even on a little SD card or a chip, and they can have that message, and they might not have a book, but they've got the words of God and it's been fixed where nobody can even find that they have even been studying that. And so the Word of God is what delivers people from ungodliness and iniquity and keeps them out of hell. Now, the premier chapter in the New Testament, I think, about hell is found in Luke chapter number 16. In Luke chapter number 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We know the story. We've read it many times. But the Bible says there was a certain rich man. So he was a man that lived, and the Lord gives them this story about this certain man that had everything that life could offer him. The terms here, clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, just meant he had an easy life. He had a life that many people of his day maybe was jealous of and would have loved to have the same things that he had. But he was a rich man, had all these good things, and then he had there was a beggar around him named Lazarus. And Lazarus had nothing. And Lazarus just desired to be fed from the crumbs of the table from this rich man that had everything. But it tells us in verse number 22 that something happened. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And then last part of verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. I'd rather be carried by angels than just to be buried. And so the scripture says that Lazarus had nothing as far as this world was concerned, but he had eternity before him that had everything. The rich man had everything here, but he had nothing in eternity worth having. And it just simply says that the rich man died and was buried. And then the next verse says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember. Just remember, in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. There's two lives of two men, one for the Lord, one not saved. And so tonight I want to think just a little bit about that subject of hell, that the Bible has much to say. I looked on my concordance, and time after time in the scripture the word hell is used, and it's used in many different ways and fashions. The scientists tell us that the core of this earth is approximately 11,000 degrees and even more. And they know very little about the makeup, and other than it's just a core that is that would melt anything that immediately that would touch it. I personally believe that hell is in the inner earth. I believe the scripture teaches that. I used to hear, and I've heard preachers say, and I've read books that would say that when you have a volcano, that is just the powers of hell burping out their fumes and their flames. But there is a place called hell, wherever it might be. This world makes fun of it. In most reference, hell today is either in a joking or a nonchalant way. You can hear people telling people to go there. You have people joke about people going to hell. You have people that are without God, they make a joke about it. But one day they'll lift up their head also. One day they'll understand the seriousness, and they'll understand that hell was not a place to joke about, not a place to tell stories about, but it's a place people really go to that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's done a good job in hiding the fact about a literal hell. He has taken year and decade and century after century, And he's done a good job of camouflaging the truth about hell, but you cannot change the truth of God's word if we would only read that. Sometimes even you and I as a saved individual, we don't think much about hell because we're not going there. We've been delivered from that, and we sometimes just sort of push that off on the side. But I believe we need to think also about the reality of hell to make us aware and to make us have understanding that our friends, our loved ones, our family, when they die without Christ, they go to hell. People we hear about this rich man we read about, people we hear about that we know their life, we know that they have nothing in regard to spiritual things, and the only conclusion we can come up with as far as the Word of God is concerned is that they died without God and they're spending eternity without God in a place that the Scripture calls hell. I'm sure this rich man, he didn't spend much time thinking about hell in his lifetime. He didn't surely think about eternity, and those that carried him to the grave, they didn't think about it because all they said was they buried him. He died, and he was buried. Doesn't tell us anything about the time in between the death and the burial. We have that time in our society where we have the times of visitation and a few days there involved in that. But it does not matter what we're doing on the other side. It has already been done. They're either in heaven or they're in hell. Hell has become a nonchalant way of thinking about eternity that is a joke to them. You see, if you look here in these verses, in verse number 23, and I have misquoted this time and time again, and probably you have, it says, in hell he lift up his head. It didn't say lifted up. If he lifted up, that means at one time his head was down. But the Scripture says he lift up his head. And the connotation here of the word means that he's continually looking upward. He's continually having that upward look. And he lift up his head. And the Bible says he was in torment. Now we can have your religious leaders. You can have the funny guys that call themselves preachers. They can make a joke about the reality and the seriousness of hell, but the Bible says that this man lifted up his head and he was in torment. And he spoke to Abraham. He said, just take your finger and put it in water and cool my tongue just for a moment. I believe he's still got his head lift and probably still saying those same words. But Abraham said, son, remember, in your lifetime you had good things, but now you have not good. In Lazarus' lifetime, he had bad things, and now he's comforted. And so therefore that brought the words to the rich man's heart. Send Lazarus that he go tell my brothers. Now he's concerned about eternity. Now he's concerned about his family. Now he's concerned about those that are coming the same way he's coming. He knew where they were. He knew their lifestyle. He knew what had sent him to hell, and now he's concerned about his brothers that are still left upon this earth. He said, send Lazarus. Surely they'll believe someone that has died and come back to life. And of course we know Abraham's response of that they would not believe. And by the way, we have one that has died and come back to life. They still don't believe him. And we still have the truth. But the subject of hell is very rarely preached in most churches today. Because of the subject matter, nobody wants to think about it. Nobody wants to think about someone going to hell. We don't want to condemn someone to hell, so therefore, sometimes we are quiet of that. And we wouldn't want somebody, even our worst enemy, to die without God and die and go to hell. And so we rarely preach, we rarely talk about, we rarely think about it because it's a matter that no one wants to think about. It's disturbing in nature. It's disturbing to our hearts. But hell still needs to be proclaimed. hell needs to be brought forward, that people know there is a judgment. There is a day coming. And as this man died, so shall every other person die, and they'll stand before God. And so tonight we have the awesome responsibility of declaring the message that the hell is real. As much as people don't want to hear it, we need to tell them that if they do not trust Jesus Christ, they die and they go to hell. One of the reasons we don't think about it too much is because our minds really cannot even fathom the depth of the destruction upon a soul. When God breathed upon man and became a living soul, he is living forever eternally. And it's hard for us to imagine being in the torment of hell forever and forever and forever. Someone asked me the other day about what if I'd have been in the towers when the plane hit them, would I have suffered and rode it down, or would I have jumped out like some did? I said, I believe the only way I'd have jumped out is if I was going to die in fire. If I was going to die in that engulfing flame that would harm and destroy and hurt. I've got a little old blister on my hand. I thought it was terrible to have that. And we think about those things, but that's no comparison to hell. And so our minds hardly can fathom and can grasp either heaven or hell. I can't grasp the beauty of heaven, nor can I grasp the torment of hell. I can't explain it. I can't put it into words other than what the Scripture has. And so we find that many times we shy away from that because we just don't know as much as we wish we knew about it. But we have enough in the Scripture that we can preach about and can warn people that there is a place called hell, because we need to keep it fresh in our minds so we can keep it fresh in their minds as we speak to them. In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. It's a real place. It's not an imaginary story. It's not a parable. This is a story of a man that lived and died and went to hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Jesus mentions hell in this passage and other passages throughout the Scripture. He preached on hell more than he did heaven. And he asked us to realize that we have a responsibility to tell people. As I said a moment ago, it's not a fantasy. It's not a imaginary place. It's a real place. Hell is not like the show The Fear Factor, that we see all the fear things that come upon man. Hell is much more than that. Hell is not something to be joked about or made fun of. Hell is a fact to be accepted. And it is declared by the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so tonight we must realize hell is real. It's just as real as the pew you're sitting on. It's just as real as this pulpit that I hold on to. It's just as real as the car that we would get in and the home in which we live. Hell is just as real as the clothes that we wear. It is a reality and it is there. And we must proclaim hell. There's a lot of people that talk about hell and damnation preaching. Now, that's the categorizing of preaching of years ago. Not much of that today. Not a whole lot said about that. And even, as I've said so many times, nobody, when they die, nobody goes to hell. They all go to heaven. Doesn't matter how they live, they all go into heaven. And sometimes even the fellow behind the pulpit that calls himself a preacher preaches somebody right into heaven that we know certainly is not. And what a shame. One day he'll stand before God. And so we find that hell is real. And we understand that the Scripture gives us time and time again those things that make us know that it is real. Abraham was there in Abraham's bosom. So heaven's real. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, so heaven's real. And on the other side of it, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And so it is a real place. Now, there are some religions tonight that teach us that hell is just for a little while. There are those that teach that when a person goes to hell after they've paid their due, then they go out of existence. That's very, very damnable doctrine. Doesn't matter who they, what they call themselves or who they are, that is not taught in the Scripture. The Scripture tells us that hell is not only a real place, but hell is an eternal place. It is something that's not going to end. Now, a few days ago, I got a blister on this hand. It hurt pretty bad for a few hours, but now it's sort of calloused over and there's no pain there at all. There's an end to it, and it'll dry up and it'll be gone and I'll forget about it. But hell's not that way. Hell is a place that is real and a place that is eternal. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41 says that he said unto to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so Jesus is doing that talking, and he says everlasting fire. Hell is eternal. Hell is forever. Hell is real. And by the way, hell is hot. Somebody says the torment of hell is just not being around your family. Now, that's very minute to what hell is. Someone says, well, hell is not is being confined in a place where there's no light and there's no God and Jesus is not there. That's hell. No, hell is a place of torment, of real fire, that people struggle in that. And this rich man, he cried to Abraham, said, "Oh," he said, just dip your finger in water. Just let it drip on my tongue that I may be, might have ease, that I'm tormented in this flame, that I might have ease of that from the flame." So hell is a place, there's no possible escape. Now, I think it's Seventh-day Adventist, and maybe Jehovah's Witness. Some of those folks, they teach you that when you go to hell, you just burn up. If that be the case, going to hell wouldn't be too bad. If you just go out of existence, that wouldn't be so bad. But my Bible tells me, and by the way, they use the same scriptures that we do. But our Bible tells us, the only problem they have is they have somebody else that has written alongside of it and corrupted the Scripture and corrupted the Word of God in their hearts and minds. And you'll find all these cults, they always have somebody else that they lean to more than maybe the Word of God. And so they tell us that it's not eternal, but God says it's everlasting. I'll take God's Word before I will theirs. I believe the Word of God and the words of our Lord before I would somebody else. And there's no possibility to escape. There's no second chances, and there's no time limit on it, because time is no more. See, eternity stops time. And there's no such thing as minutes and hours and seconds. Eternity is just now. And again, we have a hard time relating that to in our minds that all we're interested in is the ticks of the clock. We get up at a certain time. We go to bed at a certain time. We eat at a certain time. We are regulated by the ticks of the clock. Well, eternity, that is not the way it is, and there's no second chances and no time limit. And so we find that hell is eternal, everlasting, never ending, never forgiving, never having any possibility of pleading my case again. We read the Scripture where they stand before the Lord and say, "Lord, did we not? Did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out demons and devils? Did we not do many mighty works?" And Jesus said, "I never knew you." Jesus said, I have no relationship with you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." And they depart and go to a place called hell. Hell is a real place. It's an eternal place. And I think we can understand it's a terrible place. I already talked enough about that you know that's terrible. But I want to give you some references of what the Scripture says about hell. some more descriptive terms that describes the same place as this place we call hell. In Revelation chapter 20, it's called the lake of fire. And I understand there's some differences, but it's all resulting in the eternity without God. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, it's called the bottomless pit. In Psalm 11, verse 6, it's called a horrible tempest. In Isaiah 33, it's a place of everlasting burning. Matthew 13, it's the furnace of fire. Isaiah 33, a devouring fire. As we read here tonight in Luke, it's a place of torment. Matthew 25, everlasting punishment. Hell is a place where people pray, but they never have their prayers answered. Luke chapter 16, where we read. It's a place where people cry for mercy. They wail and they weep and they curse God. It's a place where they never repent. They never really turn back and they have no understanding. It's a place of filthiness. Matthew 8 says it's a place of weeping. Psalm 18 says it's a place of sorrow. Matthew chapter 8 is a place called outer darkness. Total outer darkness. In Revelation 14, it's a place where they have no rest. Revelation chapter 16 says it's a place where they gnaw their tongues. In Jude verse 13, it's a place of blackness and darkness forever. Mark chapter 9 verse 48 says a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Revelation chapter 14 calls it a place that where people are tormented with brimstone. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, is a place where the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and forever. Luke chapter 16, verse 28, it's a place where they do not want their loved ones to come, as we made mention a moment ago. So hell is a terrible place. I don't see any place there for joking. I don't see any place there for having a good time and fun time. Hell is a very important place that we need to consider and have people to understand that if they die without God, if they die without the Lord, if they die without the message of salvation and the trusting of the Lord in their heart, they go to a terrible place. Some of you may have had people say, I have had people tell me, well, my dad and mom are there. I think that's where I want to go. Well, your mom and dad don't want you there. Just like this man didn't want his brothers there. Well, all my buddies are there. They're having a big party. Now, there's no party in hell. Now, there's no good times in hell. I had a man tell me one time, says, me and my buddies raised hell all of our life. We're going to die and do it all eternity. Well, what a terrible statement. You know, one day, if they don't get their heart right and turn to the Lord, one day they'll stand before God, and God, I believe, will remind them of that statement. And so hell is a place that is terrible. It is incomprehensible for you and I to understand everything about hell. Everything that the Scripture gives us about this place called eternity without God. Sometimes we dress it up. Sometimes we make a little better language of it. And I know there's times that you can't say everything maybe you need to say, especially at a funeral. I've never tried to tell anybody that I know where they are. I don't know where people are. And especially somebody that doesn't live for God. And I try to make the statement that, well, they're in the hands of a righteous God now, and God makes no mistakes, and God will handle and deal with their life according to His truth. And so we find that hell is real, and we can't not preach people into heaven, and we need to be reality people that lets folks know that hell's something to shun, something to have fear of and to depart from. I've heard people say, "Well, I'd go to bed at night and be under conviction. I'd dream about going to hell." Well, it's more than a dream because one day it's a reality. Hell is certainly. Lastly tonight, is a place that needs to be shunned. And the only way that people can shy away from that is to know the beauty of the the Lord Jesus Christ and the beauty of heaven. Hell is a place where that we need to let people understand and let them know that if they die in the condition they're in, they're going to hell. Sometimes I think we need to be more maybe pointed and more to the point with people than trying to color it up. They're dying without God. If they die without God, they go to hell. They don't go to a bad place. They don't go to the place where the boogerman is. They don't go to a place where there's fear. They go to a place called hell. And so it's a place that needs to be shunned. They ought to desire in their heart, under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, that I don't want to go there. Someone says, well, if the only reason you got saved is because you're afraid of dying and going to hell, you're probably not saved. I had a fellow tell me that. Well, when I got saved, I was a young boy, and the only thing I was fearful of at that moment, I did not want to die and go to hell. I'd had it preached, I'd heard the message, and I didn't want to go there. And I heard the story that there's a better place called heaven, and Jesus died for me, and I could go if I trusted Him. Now, that's not the only reason to get saved, but it's a pretty good reason. Probably most of us in here tonight, if we'd be honest, and we give a testimony, one of the reasons we got saved, didn't want to go to hell. Didn't want to die without God. Didn't want to die without the Lord and go to hell. Wanted life eternal. And so tonight, in these few moments, the scriptures that we read, the Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. It's enlarging itself every day. Broad is the way that leads to the destruction. Hell hath enlarged her mouth. And she's opening and gulping people in day by day. Moment by moment. No telling how many people have died and gone off into eternity from the time we started tonight almost an hour ago until now. Hell hath enlarged itself. Her mouth is open and she's receiving people, and the devil is inviting folks to come every day, every moment. This is real. So you and I tonight, we are messengers. We are people that warn folks of impending danger. If we go down a highway, go down a road and the bridge is out and we find out it's out, we'd be terrible not to tell somebody that's taking the same route there's danger ahead. Be careful. Well, you and I tonight, for our loved ones, our friends, our family, we need to be relating to them. If they don't know God, there's danger ahead. And one day, if they don't come to know Christ, that danger will overtake them, and they'll be just like this rich man. They'll lift up their eyes, and they'll realize what a wasted life. What a wasted life that I've lived, and what a wasted eternity now that I'm spending. No hope of ever getting out, no hope of ever going and having my charges and being released. No hope of that. Hell is everlasting. Hell is real. Hell is forever. Hell is terrible. So may the Lord help us tonight to be true to His word and faithful to those around us to warn people that there is a place called hell. What if they laugh at me? Well, they just one day will not laugh. What if they make fun of me for being old-fashioned? Well, they just have to do that. We're under the command of the Lord to go into all the world, preach the gospel. And a person that denies the gospel goes to hell. And we're commanded of the Lord to warn them not to go there. May the Lord put someone in our pathway this week that we could tell them and can warn them and show them the seriousness of life, the shortness of life, but the surety of eternity. That God would help us to be a faithful witness to everybody we come into contact with in our life. Let's stand.